It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 26th day of April 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where we've been for quite some time now. And it's also where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap conversation that takes place between the hours of 5 and 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, Monday through Friday. And if you pop in right now, you'll be greeted by early arrivers, Roger in Oregon and Squeaky. And Roger is planting in the garden right now. We must have a little bit better weather than we do here. We had two beautiful days, but life in a temperate rainforest is such that sometimes it gets all gray and rainy. And this is one of those days. But you know, it's all about gratitude, and I'm grateful because it's only 69 degrees in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion, and that's much more comfortable than say 92. Hi, I'm Robin, and like I said, if you pop in right now, Squeaky's still there. Roger had to go out and do his planting. I'm there. And, of course, longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky is there for your chat room moderating needs. He has folded space because he's a third stage guild navigator to become Man Cave. And so we're off and running on a titanic Tuesday in which it seems that the iceberg is particularly large this evening. Oh, my God. Just well, big iceberg. But anyway, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So that means that we send out thanks to our 26th day of the month subscribers. And what that means in particular is that we say thank you. Thank you ever so much to Ralphs. Thank you, Ralphs. And thanks as well last night to Gary and Gaia in Oregon. And in the name of, and from Women's Standing, in the name of someone who can't but would like to contribute, thank you. And thank you to Steve and Susan. All power to the people. And thanks as well to Earther. And so consequently, what had been a $1,969 fundraising goal went down. Let's see. Sorry about the on-the-fly ciphering. 44. $1,834. Thank you all so very much. Nope. $1,699. No. $1,799. Cipher. You know, it's like Talking Barbie said so long ago. Math is hard. But we are there at $1,799 to go to catch up. And let's see, today is the 26th, Wednesday, 27, 28, 29. Yeah, so we have $1,799 plus, I can't even contemplate it, but it's a great big honking hole. And if we could knock it out, it would be fan-damn-tastic. If you want to help out, run over to headon.live, of course. And, there was a little PayPal button there. Just use it in good health. Sorry, 17 different things are going on at the same time here. But anyway, it is. Oh, hey, look, it's pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. Hey, Steve, glad to see you. Where to begin this evening? Well, it is Titanic Tuesday, and remember, we reserve Titanic Tuesday for those manifestations of Titanic right wing attempts at intellect. The kind of intellect that says, full speed ahead into that iceberg. We'll make it into martini ice cubes. Never quite works out that way, does it? No, it doesn't. But being Tuesday, it has a particular meaning because, you know, the Congress doesn't work on Mondays and generally not on Fridays, so the actual get into Congress and do Congress stuff schedule is basically Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So just as the weekend is the setup for Moran Monday, as right-wingers do their Moran things, well, Tuesday is the setup for congressional Titanic intellect. And this date, proved to be, shall we say, fruitful? Yeah. Secretary of State Tony Blinken appeared before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee today. And, you know, it was almost not zany and madcap. But unfortunately, the junior senator from the Commonwealth of Kentuckystan, namely one Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and that thing on his head, decided to unburden themselves of their thinking on, oh dear, geopolitics. Get the hockey puck!
While there's no justification for Putin's war on Ukraine, it does not follow that there's no explanation for the invasion.
This should be good. There's no excuse doesn't mean that there's no explanation. Well, okay. I mean, he is so brilliant that when he couldn't get board certified as an ophthalmologist, he went out and had the brains and the guts and the brawn and the will to power. Oh, no, not Nietzsche. To set up his own ophthalmologist licensing board, of which he became the president and founder and the only person that he certified as board certified to ophthalmological aid. Okay, what might those reasons be? While it's, you know, while there's no excuse for Putin's invasion of Ukraine, thanks for getting that out there, Rand. There are explanations. Like, what? You crow Nazis! Because Big Bad Vladdy Daddy is, the Let's just say the Yuri Andropov rumors have started swirling around Big Bad Vladdy Daddy. A video came out was released. I mean, nothing happens that doesn't happen with his permission. A video was released of Big Bad Vladdy Daddy meeting with his punk-ass little Belarusian minion. And in that video, Big Bad Vladdy Daddy can be seen holding up his hand before he greets Alexander Lukashenko, the aforementioned punk-ass little minion. And when he holds his hand up, well, it's... Wow, we got to the movie references early this evening. It's like that scene where Cleavon Little meets Gene Wilder for the first time in Blazing Saddles, and Gene, he's, "You're the soda pop kid." He says, "Yeah, but look at this," and he holds up his hand, and he says, "Steady as a rock." And then he holds up the other hand, and it's shaking wildly. He says, "Yeah, but I shoot with this one." Well, that was the case with the video of Vladdy Daddy meeting with Luca Shithead. So he's shaking like a leaf on a tree in a tornado, and then walks over and continues speaking with Luca Shithead, and he's limping. He's got a stiff leg. And this only follows on the heels of a video of him in Shoigu, during which he grasped the table as though he was afraid if he let go he might blow away. Yeah, I'm not making sport. But by the same token, you know, if the guy, actually it worries me, if the guy's not okay, then we're not okay. So the speculation running around, and I acknowledge it's speculation, is, and this is not the first time I've heard it, is that Big Bad Vladdy Daddy might have Parkinson's disease. Oh, if only fat, dead Rush Limbaugh wasn't dead and busy getting the eternal pineapple treatment in the hot place. He could turn on his webcam like he did when he was talking about Michael J. Fox wanting stem cell research for stem cell treatments to treat Parkinson's disease. And he, in his massive bulk, sat on his webcam and jiggled and shook. Because, ha, 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 my friends, people with Parkinson's disease are so funny. And here I am broadcasting with half my brain behind my back and talent on loan from God. Remember? I do. And, of course, in a closed society like Mother Russia, you get nothing but speculation. But quite often the speculation is on point. And of course, I thought back to Yuri Andropov. Oh yes, glorious comrade Andropov is premier of Soviet. Wait, he dead. On the one hand, I'm like, gee, I hope he's okay, because I hope he doesn't, lose his shit and decide to I'm dying. Let the world die with me. Is old Russian custom. Back in the days of the Soviet Union, you think when your Yuri Andropovs and Leonid Brezhnevs and the like got toward started doing the off this mortal coil shuffle, you think they sort of segregated them away from things like buttons? Well, all of that command and control infrastructure that the Soviets actually had doesn't exist in Mother Russia anymore. God, we're off and running on this Titanic Tuesday. Robin Kincaid, little ray of sunshine. I know. So, he may not be all right. So, when somebody like Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, says there might be, there's no excuse, but there might be explanations, like maybe he's not all there. No, it's not going to be that either. That would involve intelligence and nuance and analytical ability on Rand Paul's, or maybe that thing on his head's part. And we know that that's not going to happen. So hopefully I've provided enough time for you to get the hockey puck and sort this out. And by the way, this has nothing to do with, and this is apropos of precisely nothing. But I had a note from Suman, and I've had a couple of comments from other folks. And just so you know, I have no freaking idea what the hell is going on with the podcast. On Apple Podcast, Suman says, I don't know whether you already addressed this on the show, but I noticed your podcast had become 16 hours long on Apple and even on White Rose Society. The file's not actually 16 hours long, but it appears that way. Just wanted to let you know. See the screenshot below? I see it, and I'm aware. And I don't know if the streaming interface... I'm going to switch to a different streaming interface. I just have to have time to learn it and get used to it and do it. Life is very busy right now. But I will try to address it, because that's just silly. You know, maybe it's all those 16-hour podcasts that caused my problem with Podbean. I'm pretty much sure they just suck. Well, anyway. And, you know, it's not like they're paying me any. Well, wait a minute. $11.72. Yes. But I'll try to get it sorted out. And I appreciate you letting me know, Suman. I really, really do. But here we are, back to Rand Paul. I'm rich. I'm socially secure. I'm comfortably well off. It's a living.
John Mearsheimer writes that the trouble over Ukraine actually started at NATO's Bucharest summit in 2008, when George W. Bush administration pushed the alliance to announce that Ukraine and Georgia will become members.
That didn't happen, of course, but...
Even with this 2008 announcement, though, most analysts acknowledge that it was unlikely that either country would ever be admitted to NATO because...
Does he sound like he's got a little bit of a dry mouth? Do you think he's got a, you think he's got a, like a little private, I don't know, one of those sort of Zen garden bubbling springs there that doubles as the spring down near Waco, Texas, where he tried to baptize a girl into the church of Aqua Buddha one time, Aqua Buddha being a bong. I mean, pot is legal in D.C. now. I mean, not in the federal zone, but I don't think the DEA is going to come busting down Rand. And, you know, he probably knows to keep a can of osium on hand and put a towel under the door and blow his exhale through a toilet, through a paper towel tube that's got a couple of dryer sheets stuffed in it. You know, just like when he was a freshman in college.
...of opposition from France and Germany. Nevertheless, the U.S., including the Biden administration, insisted on beating the drums to admit Ukraine to NATO. Just last fall, you signed the U.S.-Ukraine Charter on Strategic Partnership, which renewed a commitment to the 2008 Bucharest Declaration supporting Ukrainian admission to NATO. Knowing full well that Ukraine was unlikely to ever join NATO, since it had already been 14 years since they were said they were going to become members, why was it so important last fall, before this invasion, to continue agitating for Ukraine's admission to NATO?
Thank you.
Agitating. You know, just like that thing in the middle of your washing machine. It's an agitator. I personally prefer Michigan taters, but never mind.
Senator, not a question of agitating for Ukraine's admission. It's a question of standing up for the basic principle that we strongly adhere to, that there should be and will be an open-door policy when it comes to NATO membership. These are sovereign decisions for European countries to make, and, of course, a decision for the NATO alliance to make in terms of making sure that a country that wishes to join actually adds value to NATO. But this goes to the heart of the international system and the international order. And part of that is a basic principle that one country can't dictate to another the choices it makes about with whom it allies, its foreign policies, its decision or not to try to engage with the European Union, with NATO.
That sounds, forgive me for saying it, and I'll probably have to wash my mouth out with bleach after the program, that sounds like a downright libertarian approach to, you know, the freedom of association. A country is free to apply if they want to, you know. I don't know, maybe it's like Rush Week down on the campus where Rand Paul started his undergraduate career. You know, you're free to rush any fraternity you want. And then they meet and they share their secret high signs and their handshakes, and you either get given a bid or you get cubed. Go figure. Oh, what's that, Tom, in sunny San Rafael? Only 16 hours? I noticed that my podcast here shows a 28-hour and 32-hour program. Oh, my God. Help me, Jesus. Oh, help me, Obi-Wan. You're our only hope. I'll work on it, Tom. I'm sorry. But, again, it only shows up that way. It's actually just a plain old, you know, two-hour, three-hour, three-and-a-half, three-hour and 45-minute show. True enough, Matt in San Francisco says, Rand Paul, well-known historian, anyone who looks to Rand for historical context probably also looks to 45 for truth-telling tips. Yeah, once again, the people that show up there are a reflection of the people who send them there. I mean, like I said last night, I think of Charlene in Rogues Island, who has a right to be proud of Sheldon Whitehouse, her senator, who actually does his damn job. Or, you know, the folks who send Angus King to the Senate, or God knows the people who send Bernie to the Senate. I don't feel so good about the people of the Commonwealth of Kentucky. But they do have a chance to redeem themselves in our eyes, yours and mine, come November. Charles Booker, one hopes, will be the Kentucky nominee, Democratic nominee, to oppose Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and that thing on his head. I wonder if Rand Paul has to report that thing on his head in terms of federal campaign disclosures. Or is it a dependent? Anyway, though, Secretary of State Blinken explaining that, you know, it's a matter of personal freedom and choice for the various European countries as to whether they want to align with NATO, whether NATO wants to align with them, et cetera, et cetera. It makes perfectly good sense.
Order, and part of that is a basic principle that one country can't dictate to another the choices it makes about with whom it allies, its foreign policies, its decision or not to try to engage with the European Union, with NATO. The other thing,
and
I'd
yet,
say,
yet, as we speak and we see the destruction in Ukraine, we also hear pronouncements from President Zelensky saying, well, you know what, maybe we might consider neutrality as a possibility. There could have been voices before this invasion, instead of agitating for something that we knew our adversary absolutely hated and said was a red line as recently as last September, before you signed the agreement, once again agitating for NATO.
Again with the agitating. The funny thing is, everything that Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, says is predicated on things that exist only in his own mind. Ukraine was still neutral. Just like Switzerland and Sweden. The only difference being that, kind of like, oh, I don't know, Belgium, some nations were willing to say, yeah, we're going to try to make sure that Putin understands that neutrality doesn't mean you get to roll over Ukraine. And the fact that he's talking about things that happened in the fall of 2021 conveniently overlooks the fact that there was a shit ton of skullduggery going on in Ukraine, as manifested and finagled and by the administration of Nitwit Nero. Gone and forgotten is the attempt to shake down Volodymyr Zelensky in exchange for dirt on Hunter Biden, the Benghazi overtime. Remember? Yeah. Well, Rand Paul doesn't. No. Oh, and back to Big Bad Vladdy Daddy and his stiff leg. A stiff leg, you say? Says Ron and Rolling. Is it a stiff leg or is he dragging the leg? Sounds more like MS or ALS. Either would be a bummer for him, although amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, otherwise known as Lou Gehrig's disease, will do him in faster. When Phil Freelon contracted ALS, the first thing he noticed was a change in gait. 2 years later, he had joined the choir eternal. It is a brutal disease. And one wonders if one would even wish it on someone as awful as Big Bad Vladdy Daddy. Of course, I don't know. I was talking to Boss Man Wayne earlier, and he was telling me about seeing an interview. Someone went and stuck a microphone in the face of some attendees at the most recent maggot rally. What do you think? The question being, what do you think about the brutality of Vladimir Putin and his attack on Ukraine? And she just looked straight in the camera and said, I'm for Russia. Y'all, I don't want to, well, it's probably too late for me to say, I don't want to put too fine a point on it. But we have a Nazi problem in the United States. Aye, Americo-Nazis, aye! Only these are the real kind. And they think they're patriotic. Brother Deacon Asa tells me your encoder's fucking up, hence the 16-hour files. Okay. And Brother Deacon Asa adds, Rand Paul is that scumbag wife abuser who says, why do you make me beat you? Somehow the invasion is not the invader's fault. Yeah, I mean, oh, they were threatening us. They were getting ready to roll all over Mother Russia. I'm sure we'll get there.
Russia said that it was a red line. Now, there is no justification for the invasion. I'm not saying that. But there are reasons for the invasion.
Yeah, it's the but. There's always a but with Rand Paul, because he's a butt-meister.
And I think it's added nothing. In fact, had Ukraine been in NATO, as you've advocated for and many others have advocated for, we would now have troops in Ukraine. We may still have the destruction, but we would also have troops in Ukraine.
Here's a curious alternate thought. If Ukraine was already in NATO and Article 5 of the NATO Charter was in force with regard to Ukraine, Big Bad Vladdy Daddy would have understood that he was going to war with the whole of Europe and the United States of America when he rolled tanks across the Ukrainian frontier. I don't know. When you've got a broken down conscript rattle trap army that you have to send mobile crematoria behind, that might have served a deterrent force. I know if
If butts were nuts, and we'd all have a Merry Christmas, right? But here we are. And basically what Rand Paul is saying, if we had just appeased Blatty a little bit more, well, maybe we wouldn't be in this fix. This might be a good time to remind us all that Rand Paul, libertarian slow down, Robin. Put this stuff in order. Put it in perspective. This might be a good time for us to ponder the fact that way back in, Stephen, New York says, NATO, don't forget the Canoodlians. They ain't so polite in combat. Well, they have come down here and handed us our ass a few times. A couple of times, at least. They will burn your capital down if you piss them off. We found that out in, 1812? 1814? Yeah, that's why the White House is the White House. Because we were so dead-ass broke we couldn't afford paint. So we just we used some stolen labor to literally whitewash the presidential mansion. And then it just seemed like the thing to do. I mean, it's fascinating to read American history and read, for instance, what horrifying shape the White House was in, say, when Abraham Lincoln and his first lady, Mary Todd Lincoln, entered the White House. Damn thing was practically a crack house. People just wandering in and out all hours of the day and night. Shit falling apart. Holes in the floors, holes in the walls. Because those were the good old days. Yeah, but anyway. The thing here is that, let's just back up a second.
Voices before this invasion, instead of agitating for something that we knew our adversary absolutely hated and said was a red line as recently as last September, before you signed the agreement, once again agitating for NATO, Russia said that it was a red line. Now, there is no justification for the invasion. I'm not saying that. But there are reasons for the invasion. And I think it's added nothing. In fact, had Ukraine been in NATO, as you've advocated for and many others have advocated for, we would now have troops in Ukraine. We may still have the destruction, but we would also have troops in Ukraine. If you were to put them in now, if it's still your policy that you want them in now, that means American troops go. The one good thing about them not being in is the most bellicose of our members here are not advocating for U.S. troops right now. That's a good thing. We have.
Yeah, funny though, those most bellicose members of the Senate, because I remember when it came down to slaughtering the shit out of a bunch of Iraqi civilians, man, they were jumping up and down, heaped dead burnt bodies, veins in my teeth. I mean, they wanted war. They wanted them some war, because Saddam Hussein was a smoking gun with a yeller cake. And, my friends, this is not speculation. These are actual, true, real photos of portable biological nuclear weapons labs and aluminum tubes! And, by God, the Republicans were jumping up there. We're going to kill the Iraqis. We're going to kill the Iraqis. We're going to slaughter some pregnant ladies. And then we did. But, you know, there's a little bit more ideological bonhomie between Republicans and Mother Russia. Because what I was about to get at a moment ago was, do you remember? And I can't forget this. Do you remember back when Mother Russia hacked both the Democratic and Republican National Committee servers and picked up a treasure trove of emails and then promptly released the Democratic ones but sat on the Republican ones because compromat. It's good to have that leverage. I can't forget that. And I can't forget it, about the same time, vast amounts of money began flowing into the coffers of the National Rifle Association, who then acted as a clearinghouse, passing out sweet, 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 sweet NRA government money checks. And some of that, so some of those sweet, sweet NRA rubles went to, Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, who still apparently has substantial motives in deciding to do the bidding. Well, he's the little dog standing at the Victrola. Remember the motto? This is even older than me. His master's voice.
I have not had advocacy for U.S. troops because they're not part of NATO. Had they been, or are they to become part of NATO, that means U.S. soldiers will be fighting in Ukraine, and that's something I very much oppose.
Senator, could I just say to that, because these are important conversations and arguments. My judgment is different. If you look at the countries that Russia has attacked over the last years, Georgia, leaving forces in Transnistria and Moldova, and then repeatedly Ukraine, these were countries that were not part of NATO. It has not attacked NATO countries for probably a very good reason.
You could also argue the countries they've attacked were part of Russia.
Well, that...
were part
Syria?
Of the Soviet Union.
Yes,
rather.
And I... Syria was part of the Soviet Union? You'll be dipped.
I firmly disagree with that proposition. It is the fundamental right of these countries to decide their own future and their own destiny. And
I'm not saying it's not, but I'm saying that the countries that have been attacked, Georgia and Ukraine, were part of the Soviet Union.
And that
which does not exist anymore, Rand, you goddamn genius. Stephen New York adds, is it me or did Professor Spicoli have Rand Paul in mind when he came up with his famous statement, which got erased in the last big update from kindly Uncle Microsoft. Yeah, I mean, he's kind of the poster child, isn't he? Ukraine was part of Russia. Now, that just kind of blows right by, but is it okay if I don't let it blow right by because I happen to recall the fact that, I don't know, Kyiv was a center of culture and what passed for civilization in, say, the 10th century of the Common Era, when Russia was still basically a forest full, or particularly Moscow, was a forest full of wolves? Oh, wait. Nothing changes. They made a square and painted it red. No, really. Kyiv and Ukrainian civilization is older than that of Mother Russia. Plain and simple. But there's Rand Paul making Vladdy Daddy's arguments for him. Of course, Ukraine is part of Russia. It's almost as though Rand Paul, focusing on the fall of 2021, completely forgets what happened in 2014 when the Russians overran Crimea and then Donetsk and Luhansk, where the Ukrainians, all by their lonesome, have been fighting off Russian aggression for 7 long years. And as for Ukraine being part of the Soviet Union, a lot of places were parts of the Soviet Union. And as soon as the Soviet Union fell apart, guess what happened? They got out of the Soviet Union because they didn't want to be part of the Soviet Union to begin with. And of course, well, I don't know. Maybe another 3 minutes or so of this clip left. I know you're wishing we didn't, but Joe the Georgian, Uncle Joe Stalin, tried to literally starve Ukraine to death and replace Ukrainians with ethnic Russians. And here's Putin in the here and now making the same arguments as Uncle Joe. Ooh, we're great big huge Mother Russia. And we're so scared of Ukraine. Okay. No more rabbits. Matt in San Francisco says, I'm so sick of hearing Putin wouldn't have invaded if NATO didn't expand. If Putin doesn't want NATO on his border, then he probably shouldn't invade a country whose borders butt up against countries who are already in NATO. This really isn't a difficult critical thinking exercise. I, at this point, have eaten so much dirt and run so many rabbits, there are no more left in my neighborhood. Fresh out of rabbits. And it's not like the it's not like the swallows returning to Capistrano. Once you're out of rabbits, you're out of rabbits. Matt adds, Rand Paul logic, so if Mexico invaded California, it's all right because it used to be part of Mexico? Oh, I know. I know. And then as Lee in New York pointed out, you know, Ukraine was part of the Soviet Union and the United States was part of Britain, just saying. Well, we did sort that out in a couple of bloody little set twos, didn't we? Ron and Raleigh says, not going to say, but we wouldn't get our hair mussed, 20, 30 million tops. Does Vlad believe he could survive our nuclear triad? Can you say molten glass from St. Petersburg to Vladivostok? Man, I know. And you know what Ron's referring to. Yeah, Mr. President, I'm not saying we wouldn't get our hair mussed, but 20, 30 million tops. Mr. President, we cannot afford a mineshaft gap. I love the continuity of this program in this community sometimes, because wasn't it yesterday that Scott and I were talking about the fact that the Republicans watched Dr. Strangelove and thought it was a goddamn documentary and a how-to? I don't like it when political satire becomes political reality. How about you? Don't worry, says Flavio. Biden named Bridget Brink as the new ambassador to Kyiv. With an ambassador comes an embassy. With an embassy comes U.S. Marines defending the embassy in Kyiv. The U.S. will have soldiers there in due course. But an embassy staff is not exactly operating at brigade strength. Our dear friend Mark has done embassy duty in his beloved corps. Might could tell us a little something about what a posting like that entails. Anyway, onward with the Titanic intellect.
And they were part of the Soviet Union since the 1920s.
But that does not give Russia the right to attack them. On the contrary,
no one's saying it does. But it really has nothing to do
from being part of this empire by force. Let me just say this, because I do think it's important. If you look at why President Putin went into Ukraine this time, we took very seriously the arguments that some Russians were putting forward back last fall, that they had concerns about Ukraine's eventual membership in NATO in terms of their security posture, Russia's security posture. What would this mean in terms of the placement of forces near Russia, weapon systems, et cetera? We sought to engage them on those issues in real seriousness, as well as engage them on deep concerns we have about many of the things we do that undermine our security. But when everything came to a head, it is abundantly clear, in President Putin's own words, that this was never about Ukraine being potentially part of NATO. And it was always about his belief that Ukraine does not deserve to be a sovereign, independent country, that it must be reassumed into Russia in one form or another.
Yet the discussions between Zelensky and the Russians have included discussions of them assuming an unaligned or neutral posture. So this, that has been part of the discussion.
And this is a sovereign decision for Ukraine to make.
Yeah, but at the same time, we're all over the place, you know, thinking we're coming to the rescue, and then maybe sometimes we're not. Maybe sometimes we're agitating for something like admission.
What was agitate on his Wordle today or something? Because he's fixated. He can't fathom that the United States might act out of, for once, lately, decent motives. But Rand reminds me so much of something one of our kids' middle school teachers. He's no longer with us. He was a great guy. Ferg just loved him. Taught English and so forth. That so forth is a bear of a middle school topic, by the way. But he would say, it all begins in the home. It all begins in the home. Whether a kid was a good student or a bad student, it all begins in the home. And he's right. Because every time you hear the mad babblings of Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, you have to understand that he is Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, because he is the son of cranky old Uncle Ron Paul. You know, the guy who put out the newsletters for years and years and years complaining about the coloreds. And who also, I read the New York Times profile of Ron Paul a long time ago. I only had to read it once. Only had to read one part of the, there was one part of the story that stuck with me. Those of you who have been listening to the program for a long time already know what I'm talking about. The interviewer asked cranky old Uncle Ron Paul what it was, or what one of his formative experiences was growing up. And of course, he grew up in DeBerg. Hi, Rico. God, I bet it was gray there today, too, but I bet you had some pretty spring weather over the weekend. At least I hope you did. Spring in the Berg is just beautiful. But Ron Paul said, as he grew up in the Berg and was a kid during the Second World War, one of his heroes during the Second World War, no, not MacArthur, not Patton, not Eisenhower, not Nimitz or Halsey or Audie Murphy. No. His hero was a butcher in his neighborhood in DeBerg who sold black market meat in violation of wartime rationing regulations. The American people sacrificed so that the troops abroad could be fed. For, as Napoleon pointed out rightly, an army travels on its stomach. And Ron Paul said that his hero was that butcher who gave not a single solitary tinker's damn about Americans fighting for their very lives abroad in the global fight against fascism. That was his hero, because he was participating in free market economics, because, of course, the black market is the ultimate free market. Now, take that mindset and imagine that toxicity being poured into the mind of a child day in and day out, week after week, year after year, decade after decade. And then when you hear this kind of bullshit babbling, you understand that there's a reason for it. You know, there's a through line that runs from Rand Paul backwards to Ron Paul, and from Ron Paul to who? Yes, of course. Ayn Rand. That toxic woman who ruined the minds of You know, back then we didn't have the term incels. But if some pimply-faced boy looked at you and said, I've been reading Rand or Ayn Rand, and she's a genius. Well, you know, you kind of knew. So that's who he is. And context and perspective is everything. You know, every time the perjury trailer queen, Q-Ball, got busted on one of her non-memories, remember she said, "You're taking me out of context." Well, we're just swimming in context right now.
To NATO that makes it worse. Maybe Ukraine has a more of an ability to make this decision if they're not being pushed and goaded by half the members of the Senate who want them in NATO. So you know, perhaps it is not useful to be pushing them into NATO, and perhaps they will come to an agreement. But the other thing to remember about war is war very rarely ends in complete victory by either side. I'm proud of how well the Ukrainians have fought. I'm supportive of their cause. But I would say it's very unlikely they're going to now invade, take over Russia, and depose Putin. I think the most likely and the best outcome would be some sort of stalemate, perhaps pushing them completely out of Ukraine. But even pushing out of Ukraine is still a great step from where we are now. So there may well be a negotiated peace. Would the U.S., would President Biden be open to accepting Ukraine as an unaligned, neutral nation?
We, Senator, are not going to be more Ukrainian than the Ukrainians. These are decisions for them to make.
Our it's their
is
business.
To make sure that they have within their hands the ability to repel the Russian aggression and, indeed, to strengthen their hand at an eventual negotiating table. We've seen no sign to date that President Putin is serious about meaningful negotiations. If he is, and if the Ukrainians engage, we'll support that.
Fairly simple. And there has been a shift in policy relative to this war by Vladimir Putin on the innocent people of Ukraine. He, with his conscript rape army. To the extent that now it is being broadly said that the goal of this is not for Ukraine simply to hold the line, but to win and to break Russia's ability to invade its neighbors, its peaceful neighbors. And I'm sure that I'm sure that gives Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, the fantods, aren't you? Yeah. So we're almost at the top of the hour. We managed to get the fundraising goal, thank you to those of you who did that overnight, down to $17.99. Whew, that's a lot. And overall, to finish April, we're at $26.99. That's terrifying. That's how not to have a radio network stop. But hopefully it'll come down. Ron and Raleigh points out, we know who the dumbest man in the Senate is. My question is, who is the biggest self-aggranding asshole in the Senate? The floor is open to the Horn family. Well, you'd have to lay early odds on, Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and wouldn't you include Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, on any such list? Kind of seems like those two go together like, I don't know, peanut butter, rancid peanut butter and rat-eating chocolate. Um, Perhaps it is not useful, Earther notes, to have your alien headpiece so tightly grafted onto your noggin that it cuts 90% of the circulation to your brain. Libertarian ophthalmology! Yay! Oh, and by the way, from the Department of Call the Guy, I had a dispatch earlier from Pinch Hit Midweek Chat Room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. Subject line, Purple Mattress, Holiday Inn. Hi, Robin. Hi, Steve. Hi, Miss Karen. We're at the local Holiday Inn. Why, you may ask? Oh, no. Miss Karen insisted we get a new mattress to assist with our back problems. Okay. I got a purple mattress that comes in a box. You got to read the fine print, girlfriend. The damn thing has to fluff for 3 days. Shit, Steve. Last time I heard fluffing referenced, it. Let's don't go there. I have a 3-bedroom house, Steve notes. One room is storage, one room is my office, and the other is our bedroom. Where the hell were we supposed to sleep while the mattress fluffs? I should have called the guy. Yeah, hell, it didn't take 3 days to fill up a waterbed back in the 70s, did it? Call the guy, Steve. Call the guy. And Steve followed up and told me, as much as this latest debacle is costing me, I'm going to go dip my back in a jacuzzi. Break a leg, my friend. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. They need to put an asterisk on the purple mattress. 3-day fluffer. Yeah, Earther noting, I don't need no stinking guy. I can fix the foundation of my house by myself. Just how hard can it be? Now, take it easy on Brother Bishop Steve. He acts from the best and purest of motives. Mattress in a box. No, because of the things that I have to do a couple or three times a day, my physical therapist down in Birmingham, right after I got out of the hospital, said, get you one of these. And what it was a pillow, it's a cushion, only it's not a wedge, okay? It's not like a triangle. It's more like a, I don't know, parallelogram. Jesus, my geometry sucks. But the bottom line, okay, let's not say bottom line. The upshot, no, not that either. In the final analysis, what it does is it's got like a 45-degree angle that goes up, and then it flattens out. And I had one of those in Birmingham, but we couldn't get it into the car. And the thing is, when it arrives, you have to let it fluff too. But once fluffed, there is no unfluffing, not without heavy industrial machinery. So we had to get rid of that one. Ordered another one when we got here. And when it arrived, it's in a nice, compact little box. You open up the box, you cut away the plastic. And then it sort of goes, oof. And there's like a minor fluff. Steve, did you have a minor fluff, but you got to wait for the full fluff? Yeah, 3 days. So I know exactly what you're talking about, only yours is on a much larger scale. Purple Mattress, Scott in San Diego, says 3 days to rise. There's a little Jesus in every mattress. Purple even. This will help a lot. Thank you so much to an anonymous friend. The 2-for-1, $150 when billionaires chooses social media loses challenge. So if we can round up $150 this evening, that would knock down the hole we're in by $450. It's not dollar for dollar, it's 2-for-1. So we've got 2 hours to do that, and if we could, it would be fan-fucking-tastic. Thank you. Thank you. So that would get us down from $17.99 to $13.49, which would be awfully helpful. And $13.49 to finish the month of April, plus it would get us down to $22.49 to finish the entire month of April, because it is rapidly approaching. Story time. I've never told this on air. It's kind of embarrassing. Things are just going sideways for maiden form girl Maddie Cawthorn. You know, at first it was the coke-fueled sex parties that he talked about. And then it was explained to him that he needed to retract that and say that it wasn't entirely true. I tend to think it was because people called maybe Kevers McCarthy and said, listen, let's stop this coke-fueled sex party thing because Calista doesn't like it. No, I didn't say that. That's just a joke. And then came, of course, the maiden form photos. I don't know if they were, that it was a maiden form. It might have been a best form or goddess or leading lady or just playtex. I don't know. But now we find out that Maddie caught, and then there was the driving on an expired license, driving with a license that wasn't his. And the ultimate question is it all just going to be a continuous series of I-O-K-I-Y-A-R? It's okay if you're a Republican for young Maddie Cawthorn. And now and by the way, a Republican senator is now running ads against Madison Cawthorn because he keeps saying the quiet part out loud, and it's bad for Republican senators or Republicans generally. So, heading out on an aircraft, on an airline, taking a trip to somewhere, Maddie Cawthorn went through TSA security with a loaded 9mm handgun. Checkpoint D of Charlotte Douglas International Airport, shortly before 9 a.m. this morning. Mr. Cawthorn stated that the firearm was his and he was cooperative with the CMPD officers, and he didn't respond to a request for comment. He was cited for possession of a dangerous weapon on city property, a City of Charlotte ordinance violation, which I'm sure the Rifle Association will promptly send out a phalanx of NRA lobbyists to try to get, you know, changed, because that means there's no freedom in Charlotte. And what is not clear here is whether he meant to. But being a Republican, I'm sure he probably thinks it's his absolute natural God-given right. Because this isn't the first time. This is the second time in a little over a year that people in airports have stopped young Maddie Cawthorn with a gun. Which tells me that he generally favors bras without underwires, because the underwire might have otherwise set off the... Didn't be good to blame. Oh, shut up, Robin. They took his gun from him and he retrieved it after the flight. He was apparently not embarrassed by this because he's done it twice now. Oh, thank you, Earther, for getting us started on the challenge. We now have $142.50 to go. On the When Billionaires Chooses Social Media Loses challenge. But, oh, shit. Confession time. Story time. I kind of have been where Maddie Cawthorn was. Not really. Great moments in stupidity. And there was a time in this house when we had kids here. And, God, this is embarrassing. We had kids here, and we had firearms. And one evening, a young man who had been seeing one of our daughters and behaving in a really creepy fashion, and apparently fixated on Annette, too. Well, we got word that he was headed for the house. You know, the fabulous Kincaid Mansion. And he was coming to do somebody in. Or several somebodies. Because he was wasn't screwed down real tight. And he had a pistol that he had been flashing around and talking about who he was going to shoot with it. Well, if you've ever been in a situation like this, you know that it is not... It does not inspire cool, rational thinking, but we did the best we could. And from years previous, when I had been a prosecuting attorney, I still had a .45 caliber Smith & Wesson handgun. And so I got it out and sat and waited in an inconspicuous location. Let's just say that. Well, eventually, we got the all clear because he decided to stop in a cemetery out on Possum Creek, wherein he decided to unalive himself, and then managed to only shoot himself in the shoulder. No laughter, please. Terrifying night. So we got the all clear. I made sure the weapon was not loaded or ready to fire. And because I didn't like having a firearm in the house when we had children around and all, I went out to the car and, with it unloaded, stuffed it in my in the gear bag that I kept. Well, it's not a bug out bag. I just kept a backpack because back then I was going back and forth to D.C. a lot. And, I forgot about it. A lot of time passed. The bag had, like, dress shirts, neckties, dress socks, a pair of dress shoes, stuff. And so, packed the car, drove off to D.C., never gave it a second thought. But from D.C., I had a flight to catch. And it was like a 6 a.m. flight. So I hailed a cab, went to National Airport, never thinking a moment about the .45 caliber semi-automatic pistol in the bag that I had put there, so I would know that it was in a safe place. Didn't think a thing about it when I put the bag on the conveyor through the X-ray, and then all the sirens went off, and it was, I was Homer Simpson. Homer, have you ever heard a good siren? And I was like, oh, no. Yeah, And the cop was really nice. He looked for all the world like a guy I used to work with at CNN. He was like, care to explain this? I said, sure. Is it yours? Yep. Did you mean to carry it? Nope. Completely forgot it was there. And so I said, you know, y'all, you know, because Maddie Cawthorn picked up his staccato 9mm. Real staccato? Not even something nice like a Beretta? I have never felt more stupid in my life. And so I said, you know, you can take it. Don't want it. You a collector? That thing was actually because it was produced by Smith & Wesson when they were bidding for a military contract for the new military sidearm. This is back in the 90s. So the thing was, shit, 17 years old. There's some rust on the barrel. Stainless steel barrel, but it's still, you know, it'll still pit. I'll be damned. How about that? We buffered up. Been gone since 6:09. We've only missed 2 hours of the story, or 2 minutes of the story. Probably be 2 hours on the podcast. Anyway, they gave me a ticket, and about a month later, I showed up there in Northern Virginia on another one and took care of it, entered a nolo plea, paid my fine, and went along my merry way. Yeah, feeling considerably more chagrined. So I actually know. Well, no, I don't know. Well, yeah, I did. Brother Deaconessa says she left off where you had a flight to catch. Why else would I go to the airport? Yeah, I did, and I had the flight was leaving, and they were like, okay, go, hurry, here's your bag, just no gun, okay? Good luck! Hey, thanks, guys, thanks for keeping us safe. I mean, it was totally friendly conversation. I didn't try to plead or beg or, you know, or talk about my goddamn gun rights. And this was at a time when, like, Barry Switzer had been busted trying to take a goddamn semi-automatic assault rifle on a plane. But it's kind of embarrassing. But you know what? As opposed to Maddie Cawthorn, it hasn't happened twice. Just the once. Thanks. Because something makes me think that, I don't know, reckon Maddie's drinking. I don't know. But anyway, that's my little oopsie story. Jesus Christ. And it was funny, it's not funny, but as it turns out, another activist, West Virginian, who didn't know you couldn't do that, actually got busted in D.C. for a hand. Well, I mean, I'm from West Virginia. We take it everywhere we go. Bless his heart, he's no longer with us. I miss him. Great moments in genius. Lee in New York pointing out, Cawthorn's gun, was it holstered in his garter? Yeah, it was a little Derringer, just right up there under the lace. Well played. Well played, Lee. Arthur points out, Maddie Cawthorn, wearing girls' dresses, talking about orgies. Oh, wait, that's a song, isn't it? Wearing girls' dresses, talking about orgies, searching for my long-lost shaker of Coke. Margaritaville. Nice, nice. By the way, that blip there was the first one we've had in a while, to the best of my knowledge. And Ron and Raleigh talking about Madison Cawthorn. As Jed used to say, somebody needs to have a long talk with that boy. Republicans will vote for anybody with a R after his name, no matter how stupid they are. And Madison is as dumb as a bag of hair. I do love that, Ron. dumb as a bag of hair. Mm-hmm. What else? Oh, defluffing a mattress. God, I love the things I learn on this program. Tom in sunny San Rafael writes, to shrink a foam pillow, wrap it in plastic, or put it in a big trash bag, insert the business end of a vacuum cleaner, and turn it on. It's hilarious how small it gets. Roll it up and tape it up securely before turning off the vacuum. Probably not practical for a mattress, but I learned this making cushions in the canvas shop. Well, I'll be darned. Beautiful work. I saw his work in place on the boats he showed me, and just gorgeous, gorgeous work. How would you? Yeah, probably wouldn't for a mattress, but I mean, I understand the principle. Sure. Guns on planes. Scott in San Diego says, the stream bugged out. Was it National or Dulles? It was National. Same kind of a thing as Cawthorn, but with a big difference. His attempts at gun-toting at 30,000 feet were intentional, a statement, if you will. Yours was a slip of the mind. Yeah, mine was a significant stupid. I mean, I was literally red-faced. I was so embarrassed. And I told the TSA agent the story, same story I just told you, and he's like, that must have been a really shitty night. And I was like, it sucked. I was a mess. And so then I recreated the O.J. Simpson running through an airport to catch my flight thing. But I made the flight. I was going to Wisconsin, as a matter of fact, and had a wonderful weekend there, and I was there at the invitation of our dear friend Bruce, who is the inspiration for Bruce's Memorial Challenge. One of these days I'm going to write a book. Yeah. It's not the mistake. Did you learn? Lee asks. My child was in a performance. A person's phone rang. Then it rang again. With the third call, the director came out and announced that the performers would wait for the discussion to complete. Yeah, I did learn. I really, really did. Convenient blip, Jeremy in Vermont says, right during your little gun story, sure it was just by chance. Ha! I know it was, but great timing. The goddess of irony never sleeps. And there are some thanks to send out. Thank you very kindly to Jeremy in Vermont. We are now down to $132.50 to go on the When Billionaires Chooses You Loses Challenge. And Steve and Ms. Karen, and I presume that little Cletus is still at home. But Steve and Ms. Karen just jumped in, and we are now down to, and that 50 cents is a real thanks, Arthur. We're down to $117.50 on the When Billionaires Chooses You Loses Challenge. Thank you, Steve and Ms. Karen. We might just get there yet. It would be fantastic if we could, and battle our way to the end of the month. So that was it was uncomfortable, but you know, it's life. Life is life. Repiglicans may have scrogged themselves in Florida. Randy Radar says, and by the way, cowbell to Randy Radar for using the word scrogged. That is a, I'm pretty sure, That's a term that Kurt Vonnegut Jr. Coined. And I think it occurs in Welcome to the Monkey House, and particularly in the play Happy Birthday, Wanda June. And it's a euphemism for coitus. And the way he uses it in in context is, I scrogged her ears off. Ew. It's a creepy play to read. So Randy Radar says, Repiglicans may have scrogged themselves in Florida. They made sure that corporations were considered to be people with people rights. Now comes along Governor DeSantis and the mouse, and the governor may soon discover the state of Florida being sued by the mouse because the mouse now has First Amendment and Fifth Amendment rights. Oops! Oh, there's so many oopses going on in Florida. A group of atheists has sued the state of Florida to remove the Bible from Florida schools because it talks about gender and, well, arguably there's some pretty compelling stories of incest and maybe even some gayness going on along the way. Subject line, dumb things. Matt in San Francisco says, my shining moment was driving out of the gas station with the hose still in the tank. I was a bit stressed in the midst of climbing to the middle of the corporate ladder. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Oh, let's see. I've driven away with camera bags on the top of my car. But that could be... Well, at least it wasn't still pumping, right, Matt? And see, you learn too, Matt, because now you drive a car that does not require gasoline. That's like serious big primate brain learning. Titanic Tuesday. Was it really Ukraine's self-determination? Really? Asks Flavio, going back to Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist. Victoria Nuland was the former Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs at the United States Department of State from 2013 to 2017. What was Victoria Fuck the EU Nuland doing in Ukraine back in 2014? Oh, she was picking the makeup of the next Ukrainian government, says Flavio. On February 4th, 2014, a recording of a phone call between Nuland and U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine Jeffrey Piatt on January 28th, 2014 was published on YouTube. In their phone conversation, and how was that published on YouTube? I'm trying to remember. In their phone conversation, Nuland and Piatt discussed the makeup of the next Ukrainian government. Nuland told Piatt that Arseniy Yatsenyuk should become the next prime minister of Ukraine, while Vitaly Klitschko and Oleh Tyanybok should remain out of the government. Piatt said the next step should be Nuland to call Klitschko, who was used to being the top dog. They also discussed that the EU would not commit to mediate with Nuland, adding, fuck the EU. A spokeswoman for EU Foreign Policy Chief Catherine Ashton stated that the EU would not comment on a leaked allegation conversation. Following day, Christine Wirtz, deputy government spokesperson and deputy head of the Press and Information Office of the German federal government, stated that German Chancellor Angela Merkel termed Nuland's remark absolutely unacceptable. The president of the European Council, Hermann von Rompuy, condemned the remark as unacceptable. Department of State spokesperson Jen Psaki said the discussion was not evidence of any American plan to influence the political outcome, remarking that it shouldn't be a surprise that at any point there have been discussions about recent events and offers and what is happening on the ground. Flavio says there's an old Portuguese saying, to wit, everyone draws the embers to their sardine. Big sardine culture. In other words, when it comes to grilling sardines, everyone wants theirs closest to the fire. Okay. And I think we can say that mistakes were made long about 2014. Just letting Big Bad Vladdy Daddy blithely roll into Crimea was one of them. Luhansk and Donetsk. Donbass being another. And he probably felt like he could roll over wherever he wanted to roll over. Because we put some sanctions on him, but you don't care about no stinking sanctions. I refuse to be a cheerleader, says Flavio. You won't see me cheerleading for Russia or the U.S. Now the world is involved, and there's a distinct possibility of nuclear war. I'm praying for peace and hoping the world avoids nuclear war and sues for peace. Wait, you want the world to sue for peace? Help me out here, Flavio. You know what I'm cheerleading for? I'm cheerleading for the Russian troops that are raping the daylights out of Ukraine, literally, to be driven therefrom, never to be heard from again. And I don't think that's cheerleading. I think that's just basic common decency. And to the extent that he has further ambitions, I think it would be valuable to degrade his ability to roll across the Polish frontier, or Estonia, or Latvia. What he's trying to do now with this so-called Eastern and Southern strategy is create a linkage to Moldova, which, by the way, he attacked and occupied. And as I think Lady Macbeth said, if 'twere done, 'twere best done quickly. As to scrogging, Ron and Raleigh says, back when I was a youth, when I attended Mr. Jefferson's University, it was still an all-male school. On the weekends, we would roll to the local women's colleges. The phrase we used was punt, roll, and scrog. Hadn't heard the word in a while. The things that people pick up, y'all pick up on in this program. You people! That Kurt Vonnegut word, it made me think of the scrod joke. Pluperfect subjunctive. Okay, is that the punchline? Oh, dear. And as to purple mattresses, my sister Mary, who died almost 2 years ago on hospice, was so comforted in her body by the purple mattress. Hang in there, as it's like sleeping suspended in the air. Many a night I slept next to her and experienced the ease of such a fashioned mattress. Love to Steve and Miss Karen, warmly. Waiting for something exquisite is worth the wait. And I guess the 3 nights of Holiday Inn. Well, enjoy the free breakfast, you kids, you. So Rand Paul ate up the first hour of the program. Well, Rand Paul and Maddie Cawthorn, and my own mea culpa. Oh, let's see. I wanted to check. I just wanted to make sure we didn't have a green news report. This is Tuesday. I think maybe Brad and Desi are off. Blessed are the peacemakers. The Portuguese UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres is in Moscow. Flavio says, let's hope he can do something. He's a good guy. Well, the thing about negotiations is that they have to be undertaken in good faith, Flavio. And with people like Sergei Lavrov out there saying that, rattling the nuclear saber, you know, we're not rattling nukes. But Sergei Lavrov, mouthpiece for Big Bad Vladdy Daddy, is. And that's distressing. So, you know, I guess he'll get to sit at a table with Pooty, you know, a table about 20 feet long with Pooty on one end and Secretary Gutierrez on the other. Similar trips by people like Emmanuel Macron have proven fruitless. He wants what he wants. Putin does. And what he wants is Ukraine. And he wants Moldova. He wants Estonia. He wants Latvia. He wants Lithuania. He'd really kind of like to have Poland. No, he'd really like to have Poland a lot. And as we've seen with autocratic fascists, and make no mistake, he's no commie, he's a fascist. There's only one way to stop them. And that is to stop them. Because bullies keep on bullying until you punch the bully in the nose. It certainly seems that way. Anyway, being Titanic Tuesday, let's check in with Christina Caramo. She's the Republican candidate for Secretary of State in Michigan, and she is endorsed by the Michigan GOP. And why not? Because, well, being a cue ball is no longer a disability from holding office in the grand old party, the grand Q party. And of course, candidate Christina Caramo has, received some sort of a vision from on high. Christina Caramo is really upset with Ariana Grande and Billie Eilish. She says, and I know, wrong accent, that Billie Eilish and Ariana Grande are putting children under a satanic delusion. And this is because some years back at the MTV Video Music Awards, Ariana Grande performed the song God is a Woman, and women reenacted the Last Supper painting by Leonardo da Vinci. And so women sat at the table as Ariana Grande sang, "Baby, lay me down and let's pray. And Christina Caramo said, "It's a lesbian orgy." But that's just Ariana Grande. I also mentioned Billie Eilish. She has a song called "Good Girls Go to Hell." And in the video for it, she sprouts wings and falls from the sky and into a tub of some sort of black goo. She sings, "All the good girls go to hell because even God herself has enemies. And once the water starts to rise and heaven's out of sight, she'll want the devil on her team." Then she went after, Caramo did, Beyonce, working overtime to pull more and more black Americans into paganism and call it American spirituality. And, Jay-Z is a Satanist, but there's no hard proof. Cardi B, on the other hand, is a tool of Lucifer. Because of WAP, which Caramo says is, it's the filth and sexual degeneracy in our culture. And then proving that Republicans in Michigan are no less wackadoodles than Republicans in Alabama said that yogurt is a satanic ritual. And, of course, she also says that the January 6th insurrection was left-wing activists, which, of course, in yesterday's edition, we pointed out, was the very same position held by none other than perjury trailer queen, Cue Ball. As she advocated for Marshall, Marshall law. God, they are the gift that keeps on giving, and they are dangerous. Oh, and by the way, I mentioned, I think it was on, yeah, it was on Friday on the front porch when I asked Old Salt, our dear brother John Britova, whether there was any portion, any subsection, any little corner of the United States Navy that contained the rank of Master Sergeant. And John Britova, who's, frankly, whose word I would take over that of the Secretary of the Navy, even, said, nope, nowhere, no how, no way. Master Chief, yes. And added that a Master Chief is also known colloquially aboard ship as God. Well, they did it again. And this time I tweeted about it. They had, and I think his name is Beardsley. He's an African-American man. And they identified him as former Navy Master Sergeant Beardsley. And they bring him on to talk about strategy and tactics in Ukraine. And he sounds like he knows what he's talking about. But I've searched high and low. This isn't just one of my, it's not just a personal hang-up. If you are a professional journalism operation, it's important that you get basic facts right, especially when you're backed up. We're talking about anybody but Fox and Newsmuck and Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground. You want to get shit right. And there's no way this is right. The only way that I can figure that this is anything resembling correct, Mark, if you're out there, tell me if I'm wrong. The United States Marine Corps is a branch of the United States Navy. Everybody knows that, I presume. If a Master Chief was seconded to the Marines for some sort of special operation, maybe he'd be a Master Sergeant? I don't know. That's the only thing I can come up with. But it just clanged. Master Sergeant, it says, is a NATO ranking. I don't know if and Wikipedia, thank you to Ralph serving as our ad hoc research department. Master Sergeant is senior non-commissioned officer rank used within the United States Armed Forces by the United States Army, Marine Corps, Air Force, and Space Force. Not Navy. So I got nothing, but it's just kind of weird to hear that kind of a howling mistake made by a major broadcast operation. Go figure. And we've been talking about Marjorie Trader, perjury trailer queen, so much that, Clanny Oakley, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, the State of the Union screamer, she had to do something to get back into the limelight. She's like the anti-Tinkerbell. If people aren't pointing out what an idiot she is, she begins to lose power. If she isn't doing stupid things, she loses power. Okay, answering the question, Jeremy in Vermont says, Master Chief would still stand even if a Navy NCO was assigned to work with other units, including Marines. I would love to have some sort of an, not that I deserve one or am owed one, but I can't be the only person who's seeing that twice now, two separate programs, and going, wait, what? Anyway, Lauren Boebert, Clanny Oakley, is apparently filing suit. No. She's pushing a bill. This is that part of the program. Colorado Republican Lauren Boebert has introduced a bill Orwellianly titled Securing Americans from Transportation Insanity Act. Saftia? She introduced it on April 21st. Because back on Transgender Day of Visibility, the Department of Homeland Security said that they were going to stop making life so hard for trans people. The DHS Secretary, Alejandro Mayorkas, said it's all part of a whole of government effort to promote equity and inclusion in all our programs and processes. And one of the things they're going to do is install nationwide gender-neutral scanning systems so that people who have an X gender marker, because that's something you can have in this country now, it's humane, decent, MFX. Well, the scanners would, because of the way they're programmed, light up on somebody whose gender marker didn't match what the scanner saw under their clothing. Why the scanners are looking at people's genitals when they're supposed to be stopping bombs, I don't know. But more than 40%, several years ago, more than 40% of trans people trying to travel said they did experience harassment and discrimination at airport security checkpoints. Oh boy, I can't wait for this. This is going to be fun next time I fly. So Lauren Bobblehead Boebert said that by doing this, well, the quote is as follows. If you doubt the Biden regime is on a woke crusade to remake America in its own image, then look no farther than the TSA's new trans screening policies. Decreasing pat-downs and identity validation measures for people identifying as transgender might validate delusional leftists, but it does nothing for passenger safety. In fact, they're practically inviting terrorists to take advantage of our weak and woke security system. The TSA literally has one job, and this isn't it. Oh, shut up, you babbling woman. So who else jumped in on this? Well, Representative Bishop and Representative Good, Representative Norman. Oh, look, Matt, it just gets worse. Mast, Louis Asparagus Gohmert, Donalds, Jackson, Miller, Duncan, and Klein. And hopefully it has gone to die in the Homeland Security Committee. Hopefully. They don't know how not to be shitty, do they? This has no impact whatsoever on airline safety. It's just another way to be cruel. And, of course, as we pointed out a million times, if we pointed it out once, the cruelty is the point. Now, like I said, hopefully the bill dies. But do not put it past them to maybe file a lawsuit and get some right-wing piece of shit Trump appointee judge to enjoin it so that, I don't know, so that trans people can continue to be tormented? Good God. God. So much of oh, thank God for Titanic Tuesday. Oh, how about a follow-up? You remember the Herbster? Charles Herbster? Republican candidate for governor in Nebraska, Stan? Well, Julie Slama, a state senator, and a Republican, no less, said that he had groped her under her skirt. And then she backed it up with testimony from people who knew it had happened. And so the Herbster, the Gropester, filed a defamation lawsuit against her this past Friday. And so, good for Julie Slama. Gee, I wonder how much longer she's going to stay a Republican. Honey, come home. It gets better. Well, she didn't even wait to be served, so her lawyers, a couple of people by the name of Dave Lopez and Marnie Jensen, jumped right out and countersued the Herbster. And they're also they also filed a motion to dismiss with prejudice. Senator Slama and seven other women have talked about the groping that they experienced literally at the hands of the Herbster, the Gropester. The Gropester, on the other hand, said, this is a politically motivated and groundless attack. I'm defending my reputation and good name. And so they're countersuing. For sexual battery. Gee, I hope it doesn't hurt too little. But of course, and this is by no means excusing the repulsive conduct, given that no Democratic woman would probably get within 1,000 statute miles of the Gropester, it stands to reason that he would instead grope a Republican woman. Herbster is a creepy old dude, bro. And it happened at a political dinner in 2019. You know, maybe there were some cocktails. Ugh. And speaking of gross Republican men, yeah, this. Thanks to John in Central PA for sending it along. Adding to my profound urge to shower with bleach after the program. Let's check in Ahia. Let's check in with good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian Republican, John Gray. Now, we need to remember that the war against people who are either not cis or not hetero, it continues day in and day out with Republicans barking and grunting and hooting about grooming and pedophilia. Well, John Gray is the aforementioned good, God-fearing, etc. And he's also the president of the Goshen, Ohio School Board. He's a married, heterosexual, puzzle-gutted man. And this past Sunday night, well, he got busted. Let's let the audio take over.
In front of the camera, John Gray, 60 years old. At this point Saturday, he was still Goshen School Board president.
I told her, I said, you're a minor, so we're not doing any sexual relations.
A group called Child Predator Catchers in Indiana confronted him in Randolph County, where he admitted he drove more than 2 hours to meet an 11-year-old girl.
We didn't say you were here for sexual tension. You kind of said that.
Right.
Why'd you say that?
Well, because she...
For more than 30 minutes, he tries to explain himself.
I said you had beautiful lips.
Saying he was not there for intercourse.
She said something about trying some clothes on, and Motto asked me a fashion show, she called it.
Yeah, and you asked her to go down to her bra and panties. Yeah.
I did say that.
He agreed that he spoke to the child about washing her in a bubble bath.
So you told her that you were going to give her a massage?
Right. She's starving for something.
At one point saying...
That, okay. I said we could cuddle
when
on
I
the
watch
couch.
Movies, we like to cuddle. We snuggle.
I said, that's what I said. I said we could cuddle on the couch.
You did say make out, though. Yeah. I will say that.
I may cuddle, make out, you know what? It's the same thing.
The only making out I know of is kissing, like making out. Like you said, not like that, but with.
Wait, this isn't it. Okay, this is not this is not hockey puck material. This is like get the vomit bag. Okay, this is disgusting. What you're about to hear. By the way, the little girl was 11 years old. Or maybe it was an 11, maybe it was a trap. Maybe it was someone, because this happened, someone pretending to be an 11-year-old girl. Yeah, she wanted a model for me. Yeah, an 11-year-old model. Hoo-wee! Those Republican family values are some kind of family values, aren't they? I mean, we was going to cuddle and make out with an 11-year-old little girl. This is nauseating. So this was all done by Predator Catchers of Muncie, Indiana. Funny. Got on the road, drove 2 hours for what he thought was going to be some sort of... Well, I said there wouldn't be no intercourse, because she's only 11. Good God, it's time to cue up some really creepy old rock and roll songs, isn't it? Hot Child in the City. Only 16. You're 15, you're beautiful, and you're mine. Ew. I've been cringing at those songs for decades. But he spent a half an hour trying to justify driving 2 hours to meet what he thought was an 11-year-old little girl. And then got caught on video. Predator Catchers Muncie is the name of the organization.
You know what? It's the same thing.
The only making out I know of is kissing, like making out. Like you said, not like that, but with, how do you make out with someone? Other
As
than,
a father-daughter type deal, you know what I mean?
Deputy.
You know, father-daughter making out. Shit, and West Virginia takes it on the chin with this kind of stuff all the time. But this is Goshen, Ohio. And this is a Republican. And if somebody was to stick a microphone in Marsha's face, the senior senator from Tennessee, huh? Never heard of him. Groomers! Well, here's a groomer. Oh no, no, he was just going to make out with her like a father daughter make out, because you know, that's a thing. Kind of like what you do at the purity ball. Sorry, y'all, that's nauseating, but at least it's, you know, this is who the hell they are. Well, again, it's becoming a truism of this program. Everything a Republican says is either a confession or projection. They've either done it or they're going to do it. And you know, while we're at it, let's check in with Pennsylvania, Bamistan, Dauphin County. Ricky Williams. On Tuesday, April 13th, Ricky Williams, 55, was arrested and facing several felony charges related to child pornography. He was present, of course, at the insurrection on January the 6th, along with his daughter. His daughter boosted Nancy Pelosi's laptop. And, how about Eric Lipman? Yeah, he was general counsel for the Florida Elections Commission. He's a registered Republican, too. And, of course, he was busted for possession of child pornography on April 10th, 2021. Well known in Tallahassee legal circles is Eric Lipman. And a former senior attorney with the Florida Department of Children and Families in Leon, Wakulla, and Franklin counties. And was an officer with the Capital Soccer Association of Tallahassee, a nonprofit soccer league for boys and girls aged 4 to 17. See, that's what they do. They get themselves into positions where they can perpetrate their degeneracy. Yeah, he's an honors graduate of the University of Miami School of Law. And after a 6-week investigation, the Sheriff's Office, Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, found 19 files sent from Lipman's email account, and each one of those files contained child sexual abuse material. On his browser history, they found a number of Internet searches about child sexual abuse, pedophiles, children aged between 3 and 5. Curiously, when the Leon County, Florida Sheriff's Office busted him, they didn't say what he did. And when reporters asked them about what he did, said, the Sunshine Law keeps us from talking about what his occupation is. But no, under the Department of Legal Affairs, the Florida Elections Commission is a 9-member board appointed by the governor. That would be Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis, who apparently pals around with pedophiles and groomers. Yeah. Because, of course. Let's see. How's about this from the Kansas City Star? How's about an aide to Kansas GOP Congressman Tim Hulskamp? He got busted, and he's been charged with 17 counts of sexual exploitation of a child. Or James Clendenin of the Wichita City Council, another Republican. He hired actresses to smear a Democratic opponent. Kansas Republican State Representative Michael Capps, also involved. It goes on and on and on. And the number of people surprised is people who are paying attention minus the number of people who are Republicans. Yeah. Which then takes us to another story, since Kansas found its way into the stack. Let's check in with another member of the Republican legislative caucus in that state. Representative Cheryl Helmer is a member of the Kansas House of Representatives. And she got an email. She got an email from a trans feminine person named Brennan Riffle. Brennan Riffle is a graduate student at the University of Kansas, a Jayhawk. Riffle wrote to Representative Helmer and three other members of the Republican members of the House in Kansas and said she was disappointed that they had sponsored House Bill 2210. That's another one of the torture the trans kids bills that keeps trans kids from being able to access life-saving gender affirmation treatment. Representative Helmer was, like I said, they find their way into these sorts of positions. She was a guidance counselor for Wichita Public Schools. And she's also a sponsor of a bill that would ban trans girls from participating in sports. The governor of Kansas overrode it. Well, when Representative Helmer wrote back to Brennan Riffle and told her that she was disgusted because she had to share a restroom with a person she described as a transgender female, a huge transgender female, huge. You know, this might be a good time to take a moment to reflect upon and remember and hold in our hearts. Brittany Griner. Brittany Griner is a cis woman who happens to be a fantastic basketball player. And during the WNBA's offseason, she went over to play in Mother Russia and was allegedly busted at the airport because she had a vape pen with, they said, the demon marijuana oils in it. With demon marijuana oils. It's not permitted in pure country of Mother Russia. Leads to gender freedom. Brittany Griner is 6'8" tall, cis female. And I guess Representing Helmer would think that she was huge. Representing Helmer went on to say that transgender people are assaulting wee little girls. She used the word wee little girls.
Wee.
Maybe she meant little girls trying to go wee. I don't know. But if there's one good thing out of this story, it's that there is a transgender woman in the Kansas legislature. So, of what I know so far, that's that's Delaware, Virginia, Kansas. And it sure would be nice if we could add West Virginia to that list. A huge transgender female. So, writing to Brennan Riffle, she said,
"Now, I personally do not appreciate the huge transgender female who is now in our restrooms in the Capitol. It is quite uncomforting. I've asked the men if they would like a woman in their restroom, and they freaked out." Well, of course they would, because, you know, men, women, men freak out over menstruation.
No!
And they freaked out. Just to make my point, I went into their restroom one day, pervert. They were all standing in a circle talking, but they all in unison started screaming like girls. "Cheryl, you're in the men's restroom!" It was quite apparent by their bright red faces that they were extremely embarrassed that I had entered their territory. But now we have a very unfair situation. We as women have humans that are much larger, stronger, more adrenaline and testosterone, and therefore possibly more dangerous, and we have our share of restrooms. Honey, I have seen a picture of Representative Helmer. I guarantee you, she's probably got at least five times as much testosterone in her body as I do in mine. Possibly more dangerous, and we have to share our restrooms. Not only that, but our wee little girls in elementary and middle and high school, are having to be exposed, and many have been raped, sodomized, and beaten in the restrooms by these supposedly transgenders who may or may not be for real. She's a fucking liar. Now, there is a problem in this country of restroom violence. It is undeniable. When my son was in high school, they used to have fight club in the restroom in the gym. And they'd video each other, just beating the shit out of each other for fun. Boys fighting boys. And it is not at all unheard of for girls to engage in violence in the girls' room. And they're cis girls, okay? And point of fact, and yes, I put this together this way. I had a note from Darlene in Connecticut earlier today. Darlene was terrified. She said, "Possible active shooter situation and lockdown at New Milford High School in Connecticut. My sister, nephew, and niece are in that school right now. I'm texting my sister, and it seems everyone is okay. A fight occurred, and one boy went home to get his gun to shoot up the school. My sister, meanwhile, is dealing with two loud-mouthed women in the place where she works and is in lockdown. I told her to tell them to shut the fuck up. They're probably Trump maggots. Damn fools. Eventually, Darlene let me know, it appears lockdown is over and everyone's okay, thank goodness. One of the suspect kids was hiding in a classroom. And then this, by way of explanation for how this kind of crap happens. It started with a fight in one of the bathrooms. Obviously got recorded. At the end of the video, it appears that the kid who was beating up the other one had a gun on him. It looks like a gun, but it's just too blurry to tell for sure. I don't have that video, just the picture. What my sister said about the students who were arrested today, it's strange because the one that had the gun was always polite. That's the problem. Sometimes the politeness ends, and when there's a gun handy, you have a gun problem. But every one of these things was, you know, not involving trans kids. And by her own admission, representing Helmer, as a cis woman, deliberately invaded men's spaces and deliberately intimidated those poor, shrinking, dainty little cis men.
Oddly enough, there's several stories out there about cis people beating the shit out of each other in restrooms. And I watch for these things. I have yet to find stories of huge transgender females doing anything in a restroom except going potty. You know? Jeremy in Vermont saying, no, this creep would have played Stranglehold by Nugent the Turd, talking about the good God fearing upstanding, et cetera, Republican, grooming pedophile in Goshen, Ohio. Gender X marker, Matt in San Francisco says, unless we plan on meeting in the restroom at 20,000 feet to join the Mile High Club, I don't need to know your gender. I never understood the Mile High Club anyway, because those airplane restrooms are tiny. And I never much trusted the doors. See, says Ron in Raleigh, all this was taken out of context. He was using this material, the guy in Florida, Lippman, for investigative purposes. Him being a lawyer and all, do you think these gentlemen know Matt Gaetz? No. Matt Gaetz has sex with people who are way too old, apparently, for lawyer Lippman. Oh, by the way, in Florida, I mentioned earlier the thing to ban the Bible, the atheist, because it's full of wokeism. That's the beautiful part. It's full of wokeism. You know, Jesus says, standing there talking about be kind to people who aren't kind to you. Love everybody. And, of course, like I pointed out, dude wore a dress all his life and only hung out with guys. I mean, there was Mary Magdalene, but, you know, the Catholic Church says she was a whore. Nothing in there about that, but just the same. Flavio points out, last count, no less than 46 QAnon candidates are running for office across the country. Frightening doesn't do it justice, and it's for all kinds of offices up and down the ballot. Yikes! Mm-hmm. I bet there's not even half that number of trans people running for office. Jeremy in Vermont says, but bang. But Robin, if everyone had a gun that's at that school, they could just sit back and blaze away. Yeah. Oh, and all the way back to the Master Sergeant discussion, Clarence, I don't know if Clarence is on the road or at home in South Carolina stand right now. Subject line, Master Sergeant. I retired from the United States Air Force in 1991 with the rank of Master Sergeant, E7. The only rank the Navy has with a master is Master Chief, E9. The Army has a Master Sergeant, E8. I don't know what that guy was talking about. Well, to his credit, he doesn't say, I'm a Master Sergeant with the Navy, because, well, but they introduce him as such every single time. I mean, okay, there were like two or three references the first time through, and today I only heard the one because I had to go to a doctor's appointment, something like that. Oh, and thank you, Clarence. Clarence jumped in on the fundraising. Where were we? 1,1850. Well, we're now down to 9,250 to go in the When Billionaires Chooses Social Media Loses challenge. Thank you. It's a 2-for-1 challenge, remember? So, gosh, $92.50 away from being able to knock our fundraising goal down by $450. This is a large deal. And no worries. Our anonymous friend was telling me about the details of the challenge. Thank you. And that's $92.50 in basically 45 minutes. I don't know if we can do it. It would be great if we could. And I hate to say this because it, well, no, I'm going to say it anyway. I'm looking at a picture of representing Cheryl Helmer. It, If I sashayed my girly little self into the ladies' room in the Kansas State Capitol, and I saw that, believe you me, I'm the one who'd be afraid. My God. They say that Helen was the face that launched 1,000 ships. She could stop a clock. Looks like $1 million. Green and wrinkled. God, that's so catty, Robin. Shame on you. Hey, thank you, Ralphs. We are now down to 6750 finishes off the When Billionaires Chooses, Social Media Loses challenge. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so much. And let's see. I think Dave's on the line over on the stress line. Is that you, Dave? Uh-oh, wait a minute. You're not connected. Stand by. Okay, all better now, Dave.
Oh, now I can hear you much better. You sounded like you were at the bottom of a well.
Yeah, that's because that's because you weren't in the into the roadcaster. The phone took an update last night and it disconnected everything, and I'd forgotten about it.
Well, I thought I might have to send Lassie to go get the sheriff, to go get the townspeople, but. Reach down and get you there for a minute.
We're still down a well.
I have to say, well, I understand that, Robin, but I'm not calling today because normally I call on a Wednesday if I can help it. But because you happen to mention my hometown,
Muncie?
In a good way, I'm calling in. Muncie, Indiana is where I was born. And I have to say, I'm proud of these people. Anytime they can.
Well, as long as they're not QAnon types, yeah.
Well, I think if I know Muncie the way I do, it probably started out as a group on Ball State's campus. And they got some private funding, and they've probably been doing this a while.
Here's a little trivia point. One of the first colleges I looked at when a million years ago when I was looking at colleges was none other than Ball State.
Oh, you'd have loved Ball State, Robin. Muncie is so tiny. Even now, I think it's only got like 45,000 people. I mean, and it's not a very big town at all. You probably spit across it.
Well, at the time, they were said to have a really fantastic theater department. And
they do.
And
didn't
Letterman come from Muncie too?
No, he's originally from Indianapolis, but he did attend Ball State, and so did the great comedic actress Joyce DeWitt.
I'll be darned.
Because one of the student teachers I had, or one of the special ed teaching assistants I had, had been her roommate.
Let me go. Had I gone, it could have been confusing because back in that era, I was frequently legitimately mistaken for Letterman.
A young lady?
No, for David Letterman. Oh. And to just keep with the Indiana theme, people could have thought that they'd come unstuck in time, just like Kurt Vonnegut talked about, proud son of Indianapolis.
That's right. Letterman has an alley named after him in Muncie now, which makes me wonder if he went to do the ceremonial christening of the alley.
Wow, I don't know.
Cricket. I'll have to work on my material. I apologize for the whole family tree.
That's okay. That's more than okay.
Every comedian has a night off. But Muncie, Indiana. I was born at Bowl Memorial Hospital in Muncie, Indiana, 57 years ago. I'm quite proud of my hometown now. It's one of the few things I am proud of them for. But Ball State, once you're on campus, it's okay. It's once you get like a block and a half off campus, you're back in maggot land. And Nixon was a god when I was a child, and all of that shit. They had like a dozen and a half churches, but only 12 people were attending. That kind of thing. I didn't grow up with a lot of kids in my neighborhood. I grew up with college professors as next door neighbors, and one of the gentlemen, he was our direct next door neighbor. He was a composer. And I got to go to a world premiere of a piece that he had written that was performed at Emmons Auditorium in Muncie. And occasionally you'd have big acts come through. I mean, Red Skelton came through. My grandfather, who'd been a professional musician, sent a note backstage because he knew Red Skelton, and the usher came back at the end of the performance to escort them backstage, and my grandmother said that they acted like they'd been friends and hadn't seen each other in 20 years, and they picked up right where they'd left off. And she said they were clowning around and making fun of each other and just having a good time as if, she wasn't there. But it was that way. And oddly enough, when Indiana had single class high school basketball, Muncie Central High School had the most state championships of any high school during the single class basketball era. In the movie Hoosiers. That's a recreation of a game between Muncie Central and a school called Milan, which in Hoosiers was called Hickory. And up until a few years ago, there was a guy named Bobby Plump who did an underhand foul shot. This was back in the late 40s, early 50s. He made the last shot and beat Muncie Central by 1 point. And they were a tiny, tiny school, beating the perennial powerhouse of Muncie Central. As a matter of fact, when they decided to go with multi-class basketball, residents of Muncie and former residents, such as myself, were against it because you could be a tiny, tiny school barely having enough people for a team and still become state champion. Ball State also had sent, back in the 80s, sent a few teams to the NCAA championship. And there was a guy named Al Gooden who played for them, who was a student teacher at my middle school and he was a real gentleman, but I saw him shoot a basket, a full court basket, from behind the inbound line, and he threw it in and made the shot at the other end of the court. It was amazing. I think he played a couple of years in the NBA too, and then went on to a coaching gig. He is coaching high school basketball now.
Oh, wow.
In Indiana. So that's how these things come full circle.
That's cool.
But it's where Colson's shield team was when Hydra attacked. So for those who remember Agents of Shield.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they were tracking down at Ball State University in Muncie, Indiana. And the coaching coach like often made fun of Muncie by saying I should have taken my left turn at Muncie, Indiana.
Well, the reason I was interested was, I guess when I was like maybe a junior or maybe a senior in high school, we got a thespian chapter, the Thespian Society.
Okay.
So I've been a thespian for a very long time. And the home office of the Thespian Society was at Ball State. And I presume still is.
Oh, really? I did not know that. I knew they had a great drama program, but I didn't know that might explain why Joyce DeWitt was there then.
In a high school in Alabama, Dave, you have no idea how much fun we had. Guys and girls and in between alike, walking proudly together, saying, "Damn right we're thespians."
I was in a high school play when I was going to high school in Anchorage, Alaska, and we used to joke that our school theater was so far off Broadway. You were closer to New York than you were, or you were further away from New York than you were from Seattle.
Well, that's a hell of a long bus ride from Muncie, Dave.
Yeah. Oh, also, if you want another joke about Muncie, look at the movie The Hudsucker Project.
The Hudsucker Proxy.
Tim Robbins. Yeah, the Hudsucker Proxy. Tim Robbins' film, which is brilliant. And he's the hayseed that comes to New York from Muncie. And there's a bus from Muncie to New York. And it's just it's a whole joke. But there are three Muncies in the United States with the same spelling. One's in Illinois, one's in Indiana, and one's in Kansas. And the one in Muncie is the oldest. Or the one in Indiana is the oldest. So, yeah. That's why I'm calling, because I was born in Muncie. I'm quite proud of these people. Indiana and places like it, for some reason, seem to have a rash of this stuff hit. Several years ago, there was a juvenile probation officer in Howard County, Indiana, who got caught with child pornography, not only on his home computer, but on his office computer as well. Now, I have a feeling he was just begging to get caught. because if it was on his work computer, there's no expectation of privacy on that because the public is it's public property. And, yeah, I mean, this was like around 2010, 2011. And so it doesn't surprise me that a group like this would pop up in Indiana.
So do you know enough about your neighboring state to the east, namely Ohio, to know where Goshen is?
Well,
it's apparently 2 hours. If Predator Catchers Muncie took him down, then they must have.
He was caught. Where was he caught? In Jay County?
I didn't see that. I didn't see that in particular, but I know that Goshen, Indiana is 2 hours from where he got busted.
Oh, well, I know where Goshen, Indiana is.
I'm sorry, Goshen, Ohio.
No, I don't know where Goshen, Ohio is.
Okay, so. Time to ask the Google.
Well, you know, Professor Google knows all.
Just kind of wondering if it's... I don't know. Just kind of wondering if maybe it's J.D. Vance territory?
Well, he is running for the Senate there, and I heard something yesterday.
Claremont County, Ohio.
Oh, okay. No, I don't know where that's at. My aunt had been a sheriff in Ohio, but I don't know where. I want to say in the town of Lower Sandusky, but I don't know.
Okay, I think I'm going to have it. Okay, it is in the far southwest corner of Ohio in Claremont County. So it is one county to the east of the county that borders Indiana, and the southern border is the Ohio River.
I don't know, but speaking of the Ohio River, as far as I'm concerned, Rand Paul can stay on his side of it. We'll turn off the lights at night so he can't cross, because he's too stupid to bring a light with him. God damn, that man irritates the fuck out of me.
I understand. Well, Goshen, Ohio was founded in 1799 by German and English settlers. And they went down the Ohio River from western Pennsylvania after fighting in the Revolution for the American side. And lo and behold, let's see, 223 years later, their school board president got caught hoping to make out, you know, like a father does with a daughter. With an 11-year-old girl. I know. Nauseating.
You know, you begin to wonder what makes these people think that that's normal.
Oh, they don't. They know that. Look, they know they're sick, pervy degenerates. They don't think it's normal. They know who and what they are.
Yeah.
But they have a compulsion to do it that, frankly, there is no known treatment for. And that's why you just have to put them away forever.
Hopefully he'll get a good long time.
The folks in the correctional facility... if he ever sees the inside of one, because remember, IOKIYAR, will probably not take kindly to having someone, you know. I mean, maybe he'll be in the stir with people who have 11-year-old daughters, who might find that to be really disgusting.
They won't be able to put them in general population. That's for damn sure. It'd be negligence on their part if they did. But I have to say, you don't hear a hell of a lot of people yelling, hollering, and screaming when a kid has nowhere to turn and doesn't know who to talk to because they're 11, 12 years old. And it's a lot better than it was when you and I were kids, Robin, but there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. There's more visibility now than there was when we were younger. I just hope that, and I understand this group only poses as an 11-year-old or whatever.
I'm guessing. I'm guessing it was a sting.
That's the way these kind of organizations operate.
Yeah,
they don't confront. They lure the person
they,
in.
What's amazing, Dave, is they sat there and held a camera on the guy, not a gun, but a camera, and he talked for an hour. Until the sheriff's deputy showed up.
Well, understand, he might have felt like he'd just been caught. And at that point, mentally, he might have felt like, I can finally say something. I don't know, but that might be why he was talking.
Well, no, by the time he gets into the courtroom, it'll be, you know what, Your Honor? I was worried about that little girl because she obviously needed something, and I was going to her. Yeah. I was going to witness to her about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. The nausea just grows. Hey, Dave, have yourself a good night, my friend.
I will.
I need to roll.
I was glad to hear about the atheist suing to remove the Bible from the school. I think I've seen this. All right, Robin, I'll talk to you later.
All right, you be good, Dave. Take care. Bye now.
I'll try to be good. Bye.
And I wanted to share something with you. This is more in the way of what's referred to in the business as gnat sound. What we have here is video of a Little League baseball game. In Charleston, South Carolina, Stan. Batter's at the plate. Catcher's behind the plate. I can see the third baseman. I can see the left fielder, the shortstop. People start clearing the stands, and the little baseball players start running for their lives. And because the children have been taught since the minute they entered the school system what to do during an active shooter drill, some run, but a bunch of them, the third baseman, the shortstop, the left fielder, whoever was on third, they hit the dirt. They hit the dirt like they're actually trained members of a military who know how to respond when they hear gunfire. It was just a Little League baseball game on a warm summer's night in America.
And I'm glad to live in America where at least I know there's guns.
That was a lot of rounds. That wasn't plinking.
Certainly no one there at the Little League field was expecting gunfire. But... And we talk about how we like our kids to get out and play and run around, be active, and not be staring at screens all the time. And then this. As Shannon Watts said, this is America's new normal. And how sick it is that it is. My God. And so the roulette wheel will spin again. Stopped briefly in New Milford, Connecticut today. Last night it stopped in South Carolina, Stan. Mercifully, no one was hurt. And, well, this is just freedom. A little trans kid trying to live their life. That's the end of America. That's the thing with Republicans. They don't know how to do anything but hurt people. Cruelty. Bigotry. Hate. Inequality. Are their stock in trade. Jesus. And, hey, thank you, Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you so much. We are down to $17.50. $17.50 finishes out the When Billionaires Chooses Social Media Loses challenge. Thank you, Charlene. And thanks to everybody who's responded to the challenge. Jude tried to call in a minute ago when Dave was on the line. She said... Tell Darlene my heartfelt thoughts on what she and her family have journeyed through today. Doesn't get closer to one's home. Warmly sent, Jude. Thank you for your good heart, Jude. Thank you. And let's run over and check in with Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Robin. Happy Tuesday to you.
Well, a very happy one to you as well.
Thank you. You know, another famous Hoosier was... Red Skelton from Vincennes, Indiana.
Well, and in fact, Dave mentioned that.
Yeah, well, he mentioned he was from Indiana, but Vincennes was the town. Always liked the name Vincennes. It's a classy-sounding place. But you were talking about Goshen, Ohio. I dated a woman when I was living in Cincinnati. I dated a woman who lived in Goshen, but when I dated her, it was before she lived in Goshen. I can't remember the town.
Well, you know, it's a biblical name from somewhere in the Middle East. And every time I see it, I always remember Snuffy Smith in the comic in the comic strips?
Oh yeah, Barney Google.
No. Barney Google and Snuffy Smith. Well,
and what was the horse's name? Sparkplug?
I think so. And whenever she got wrought, Snuffy's wife would yell, "Land of Goshen, Snuffy Smith."
Oh, wow, I remember that. Now, Goshen, Indiana, on the other hand, the famous person from there, Philip Proctor from Fireside Theater.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. And actually comes from a long line of Goshen, Indiana folks. And the only reason I know that because I know it, because I've been a Fireside fan for many a moon. But he's one of my Facebook pals, and he talks about Goshen quite often. Yeah, land of Goshen. That's not why I called. Why I did call, two things, actually. You were talking about the person a long time ago, maybe 6-8 weeks ago, I think you were talking about, you raised the guy's name about an hour ago, and I couldn't remember it. I referred to him when I wrote before, when you talked about him, Foolscap. What is he up to? Is he at it again?
Oh, which one is that? This is a three-hour program. Okay.
Well, his name sounds like Foolscap, and he's a right-winger.
Oh, Hulskamp. Hulskamp.
Foolscap, like the...
Yeah, 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 yeah. No, but Tim Hulskamp of the good God-fearing congressman from Kansas, one of his legislative aides just got popped for 17 counts of, like, kiddie porn.
Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Where's Chris Hansen when we need him?
I know.
Wasn't he the host to Catch a Predator?
Yep.
Jesus. Jesus. And...
He got overwhelmed.
Well, I think there was some sort of scandal.
Yes, there was.
Yeah, yeah. I won't go into it because I don't remember enough of it to be authoritative. But anyway. Yeah, Goshen was about, I guess, 30 miles or so from Cincinnati, more or less.
Oh, and by the way, Snuffy Smith's wife was Lowezy.
Yes. Good God, you take me way back. Way, way back.
Thank you, Lee.
Pardon me. Pardon me. I don't know why it's so hot in here. It's only 72 outside, but it feels like there's 172 in here. I've got to go down to the supermarket in the dead of night, get me a couple of hands in a truck, and take that big thing that they keep the frozen peas in so I can put my chair in it, my recliner. Won't recline too far, but sit there and cool down. Just sit here in my all together and be cool as a cucumber. Here's a picture. Anyway. So how are we? How much do we have to go to get the challenge, Matt?
$17.50, and it's a two-for-one challenge.
Yeah, put me down for 10, and I'll rely on one of the Horn family people to do the 750 or 715.
Okay, 750 to go. Thank you, Scott.
I'll do that in a second after we chat. Jesus, there was something else. Oh, I know what it was. You know how there are shows on TV and you've heard of them, but you never watched them and then they go away? I was on the Sundance Channel app, which is part of my Amazon Prime Video. It's a separate channel that you pay a few dollars a month, and you can watch whatever movies or whatever have been on Sundance Channel. And they have, in 2012, there for one season, there was a program on ABC television called Pan Am, like the old airline. Do you remember
right,
that?
Right, yeah.
And I never watched it when it was on, you know, first run on network television. But I saw it on there, and it was from the 60s, the early 60s, and I know Sparky loves this. I am stuck in the 60s. But it's sort of like Mad Men, but at 30,000 feet is the best way I can describe it in encapsulated form. It's about the lives and loves and adventures of a bunch of stewardesses who work for Pan Am and the other people in their lives and the drama that ensues and romance and all that. And it was not a bad program. It was one of those shows that I would have become a fan of, I guess, had more people like myself watched it and ABC hadn't canceled it. But if you have the Sundance app on your Prime Video service, you can get it for a few bucks, and you're looking for something to watch, Pan Am is not a bad little drama. So check it out. Made me want to book a flight somewhere where it's cool. You know?
Yeah. Cool? You want cool?
I don't want real cool. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, let's see here.
If it's any cooler than Miles Davis, I don't want it.
How do you feel about 51 degrees?
Ooh, that would work.
With an overnight low of 43.
Is that where it is where you are?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear.
And in the studio, it's remained a cool and comfortable 69.
You grow orchids in there. No, it'd have to be a little warmer to do a hothouse orchid. I hear you're still in the background. What's brewing tonight, Robin?
I'm just working up a little bit of Grandma's rheumatism. recipe? Malumbago has been acting up, Scott.
Oh, dear. Dear me. Dear me. Do you wear that? That support hose that helps with your circulation, Roland?
No, that's not. Just trying to find somewhere I can buy old school stockings, you know? We'll just leave it at that.
Because you can sit on the porch and roll them down on those summer afternoons when you're shelling peas.
You've been here, haven't you? Are you stalking me?
No, I had relatives that lived in the country down.
I know.
And they would do that. They would, in the shade of the afternoon on the old front porch, they were doing front porch long before we were. But, they'd sit there with a big, not cast iron, but it was a metal bowl. It wasn't a glass bowl. And it was an enameled affair.
Oh, yeah.
And Grandma would sit there with Aunt Helen, and they would just sit there and rock and shell.
And have a whole bunch of peas in the shell or beans and in the lap of their apron and just sit there. There's a kind of a zen to it.
There's something to be said for that. The old-fashioned ways are the best, I think.
Yeah, and you know what? Things that are amber in color and in clear iced tea glasses, not saying, just saying, it ain't always iced tea, Scott.
Oh, hell no. You give me a little old, what was that old Taylor? Was that a bourbon or a whiskey?
Yeah, that sounds like a bourbon.
Yeah, take a little nip of old Taylor. Yes, indeed.
Or, you know, my favorite brand, courtesy of the Three Stooges, Old Panther.
Panther piss.
Old Panther piss, exactly.
And when you had too much, they had an expression for when that happened. Would you hear about Ralph, Uncle Cousin Ralph there? He got himself a snoot full.
Three sheets to the wind.
Yes, indeed. He's wearing one of them.
Oh, hold on. And he's wearing one. Oh, that was quality. That was quality.
You know, those Klansmen, now I've never seen Birth of a Nation, but I've seen clips. I've seen the highlight reel. They even had their fucking horses done up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's Hollywood. I mean, D.W. Griffith spared no expense.
Where was the fucking ASPCA back then? I mean, that's cool and unusual.
Well, you know, you hood the horse. I just wanted to see the outtakes where the horse rides the Klansman into the big old oak tree. Oh, I don't know where I'm going.
Pardon me, geez.
Wilbur, I can't see.
Wilbur.
Hey, Scott, I've got a meeting this evening, and I have to be on it at 8:00.
Oh, don't go.
Oh, I know. But prayer meeting Wednesday comes tomorrow, so. Well, yeah.
All right, if you must.
And I must. I gotta. It's a Zoom meeting, so I've got to tidy up my makeup.
It's a Zen meeting?
Zoom, goddammit, Zoom. All
right. Well, who's Zooming who? I think that was a song.
Adjust your hearing aid, Hiram.
Hiram? I never met him. I ain't gonna hire nobody I ain't never met. Anyway, all right, I'll let you go, Robin. Drive safely and.
There's no driving involved. It's Zoom.
Oh,
I'm just sitting here.
Get in your Zoom mobile and commute to the Zoom meeting, and I'll do the 10. And horn person out there listening with 750 burning a hole in their little pocket, go ahead and kick in, and we'll be done.
Sounds good. Thank you, Scott.
All right, love you, babe. Take care.
All right, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Robin, take
care. Be good. Bye.
Good night.
And so it is that we come to a little bit of an early end of the program, but my God, we've gone over, so I think it should be okay several times of late. Thank you to our to all of our Patreon, PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. All but $7.50 of the 2-for-1 When Billionaires Chooses, Social Media Loses challenge has been met. We're just $7.50 away. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatsoever manner you may choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky ever so briefly in the chat room this evening. Thank you to the hopefully now thoroughly hot tubbed and relaxed Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. And the purple mattress will be wonderful, you know, in a couple of days. Steve, be prepared to do emergency surgery tomorrow morning because you stayed at a Holiday Inn tonight. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Brand new Fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Cold River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Now a union shop. Please stay safe. Get that second booster, which I have to do yet. I'm so ashamed. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, don't hesitate to wear your mask. I had a doctor's appointment today. I wore my mask. Use your hand sanitizer. It ain't over. Social distancing, absolutely. And, you know, if somebody comes towards you and they're saying something about how, well, yeah, she was 11 and I was going to make out with her, you know, like a father and daughter do. Avoid that Republican like the plague, because he is. Later. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.